Joseph Pasek of barnburner.ca, our daily podcast entitled Fired Up, and I'm fired up today as we look forward to week 5 in the NFL. I got Rudy Reyes of now SB Nation on the phone with me, and our MMA, the wrestling, boxing insider, but he wants to show that he covers the NFL too, Rory Mitchell of the Mitchell Report Unleashed. And by the way, Rudy, have you listened to the last Mitchell Report Unleashed, episode 53?
I did get a chance to listen to a little bit of it. I was able to really palatize a little bit of it, but after that,
what do you mean a little
kind
of
bit
of it? After we do this podcast, you got to listen to it. It's the greatest podcast in Rory Mitchell's career, the greatest podcast. It's with me. Of course it's the greatest. Now, speak about the greatest victory in years in week 4 for my Buffalo Bills. My Buffalo Bills went into the new Mercedes-Benz Dome there and defeated the previously undefeated Atlanta Falcons. This week, the Buffalo Bills take on another juggernaut. Yeah, right. The Cincinnati Bengals. I'm going to go first with Rory. Give me your take. Who do you think is going to win? You got 30 seconds.
Well, you know what? The Buffalo Bills got to travel at home. They seem to be playing excellent football right now. I'll be honest, you know, they're not really being talked about as a formidable playoff team just because they have to battle against the AFC.
15 seconds left.
But this will be a telltale. I have Cincinnati squeaking out a win by a field goal, to be honest.
All right, enough of you. Now, Rudy, give me your thoughts.
Buffalo Bills, Tyrod Taylor, are you kidding me? Buffalo Bills, look, they've been to the Super Bowl historically 4 times and lost all 4. But this is not the same old mom and pop's Buffalo Bills. These guys will squeak out a win. When I say squeak, it will be like a dollar bill losing out on a homeless person's hand. So you're going to see Buffalo Bills really taking care of business against Cincinnati. Buffalo wins this and goes up to continually own the AFC East, which had previously been owned by the Patriots up to this point.
All right. See, this is why I told Rory, this is why he's going to be the new MMA boxing and wrestling insider. Rudy, do you know anything about the wrestling, boxing, and MMA?
I do, but I don't.
All right. That's good enough because that's what Rory knows. Let's talk about the New York Jets, believe it or not, have the same record as the Patriots, and they travel to Cleveland, one of the best teams in the NFL. Yeah, right. Anyways, Rudy, tell me your pick here, the Jets and Cleveland.
Oh, wow. You know, the Jets find a way to make it 500 early in the season. I don't know what Todd Bowles is putting in the quarterback's water. Maybe it's different than what he's putting the rest of the team's water, but a lot of miscues in the Jets secondary. But I look at this Browns team. They're hungry for a win. They just don't have the formula right. You know, you have DeShone Kizer. He was named the starter. He's been kind of looking like, well, a rookie. You know, you expect rookie mistakes from some rookies. Doesn't happen with the other Deshaun as in Watson for the Houston Texans, throwing for 4 touchdowns, running one in himself. But I'll be honest with you, I look at the Browns and I think to myself, they're hungry enough, but the Jets have the formula, and it's called jet fuel. They're going to run all over the Browns.
All right. And what about you, Rory?
I got to go with the dog pound, though. Woof, woof, woof. Dog pound. Kizer, bounce back game. I expect an excellent
Hold on.
Quarterback.
Rory, what kind of dog was that? Do that again. What kind of dog was that?
I said it was a
woof, woof, woof. What's wrong with you?
No, I got this on. I got this on Kizer playing exceptionally well. This, again, will be another close victory. I think you're going to see a lot of close games this weekend. Not too many blowouts as teams are starting to get situated. But I've got the Cleveland Browns winning by a field goal on this one. DeShone Kizer,
Rory is going to be, he begged me for it to get him a pass because Rory, Rudy, you don't understand. Rory is going to be covering for Barn Burner the Hell in a Cell, WWE Hell in a Cell from the pizza, the new Little Caesars Arena. And he begged me to get him a pass for the Detroit Lions taking on the Carolina Panthers. So we'll first start off with you. And Rory, let me ask you this. You better come. You gotta come dressed to the nines because I'm going to speak to Cam Newton and I'm going to ask him. Is my guy Rory Mitchell of the Mitchell Report Unleashed episode 53 featuring myself? dressed to the nines like yourself, Cam Newton. And if he's not, he'll never go to an NFL again game again. So your pick, Carolina, Detroit, Rory.
I like the Cam Newton reference, but I expect Cam Newton to throw two picks in this game and hands down the Detroit Lions winning 30-14 in a pretty shocking game.
Oh, he even gave me the score. He gave me the over. All right, Rudy, go ahead.
Well, this is a battle of the cats. One bigger cat than the other, one more faster than the other. Look, that two-headed monster with the Detroit Lions, we happen to be in agreement here, Rory, and here's why. Detroit Lions are going to lay the smackdown all over Carolina in the secondary. They're building, they're
reference.
Revamping. They got some new corners. It's going to be a smackdown. You're going to have a cat fight on your hands, but Detroit will end up winning this 24-17.
Now, look at the great reference. He wants to be a wrestling insider. Come on. Now, let's talk about the San Francisco 49ers and Indianapolis Colts. San Fran really, they took Arizona to overtime. They haven't won. And Indianapolis, when is Andrew Luck coming back? Maybe this week. Jacoby Brissett better come up with a big game if he plays. First, start off with Rory in this one.
Well, this is going to be a retribution game here. I expect the Colts to win this game. I expect Frank Gore to actually have a decent over 100 yards rushing on his old formidable team. Indianapolis quarterback play is kind of suspect right now. As you just mentioned, Andrew Luck is out. We don't know when he's coming back. But let's see the Colts be able to easily, fairly walk through the San Francisco 49ers, you know?
All right, Rudy.
Well, look, it was something that you had seen with the San Francisco 49ers. They had the pressure up front, but they don't have the best offense. They really kept it close at home. Remember that game against the now Los Angeles Rams, keeping it really close, somehow not finding a way, an overthrow by Brian Hoyer in the end zone. Indianapolis Colts have their own worries on the offensive line. Jacoby Brissett trying to do what he does. He tried to do what he did while in New England when he had the opportunity in New England. I expect the Colts to win this, but I think it'll be another close nail-biter as a defense. Hasn't really had any takeaways this year for the 49ers. I think the Colts will win this one 27-21.
Tennessee against Miami. Tennessee coming off 57-14 loss to Houston. Miami getting shut out in London. Rudy, your thoughts?
Man, that London game, I mean, talk about London bridges falling down. This is falling down all over Miami. It's just really sad to see this actually take place to go 20-0. But I think that the Dolphins will find a formulation to bounce back. They'll be at Hard Rock Stadium in Memphis. Tennessee Titans also coming off of a very horrible loss. I think Tennessee will find a way to get this done. They are at home. They've had a better home record than most teams in the NFL this season. So I think you'll see the Tennessee Titans take care of business against the Miami Dolphins. But again, another slim margin of victory, 21-17, Titans.
Rory?
Well, I got to agree with Rudy on this one. Tennessee is a very up and down team. They beat Seattle, then they get crushed. They get mollywopped last week. This should be no different. I think you're going to see a standout performance from the running backs with Henry and DeMarco Murray. And I expect Marcus Mariota to be able to run this read option the way he needs to excel it and be able to spread, use a spread offense on this actual team against the Dolphins. The Dolphins front four is kind of pity party, but I expect Tennessee to bounce back, and hopefully it can stay consistent. Like, you got to be consistent in this league to be taken seriously. So Tennessee easily beats the Miami Dolphins because I see Jay Cutler going to just do nothing but what Jay Cutler does and drop back in the pocket and throw some picks.
You know,
well, hopefully
I'm
he'll drop back in the pocket and not sit on the wideout position with his hands on his hips waiting for the play to develop. Come on, Jay.
All right, the next game is definitely a slobber knocker. Now, Rory, I'm going to give you this one first. It's the LA Chargers, no wins, against the New York Giants in New York, no wins. Who gets off the schneib and finally wins a game? You haven't won a game in 33 years. Go ahead.
Well, I'm going to be honest here. This is the game where I expect the Giants. Now, arguably, the Giants should be 2-2 in my eyes. I know there's a lot of kerfuffle going on in that organization right now. McAdoo's calling out whoever he wants to call out. Eli Manning's not showing up until the second half of football games. They're losing games by field goals. I expect this. They're at home, right? They're playing which I thought was going to be the Chargers being a sleeper team this year, which is surprising that they're 0-4. They are competitive. They are healthy. But let's look at the New York Giants to really make a statement here. I think this is where the changing of the guard in the NFC East is going to happen, where they're going to take the tidal wave, and you're going to start seeing them produce more wins. And I expect a great result here. New York Giants dominating win in orderly fashion.
First of all, it's not going to be a dominating win. If we know anything, it's going to be a very close game.
Put some respect on Odell Beckham's name, please. Please.
Who is he?
Odell. Who? Odell. Odell Beckham.
Odell who?
Put some respect
on
his name.
Wait, hold on. You mean the guy that hasn't shown up? I call him a chick dude. There's a lot of reasons why he's a chick dude. He was. Because he acts that way. His personality is that way. He wants to claim he doesn't know about penalties when they actually occur, or even after the fact. I don't like the chemistry right now in that Giants locker room. Something has to change. Everybody keeps passing the buck. Yeah, fine. So you have the head coach throwing Eli under the bus. I think Eli himself is too busy throwing himself under the bus as if it was Groundhog Day over and over. Matter of fact, four times. Four times this year when the New York Giants are now 0-4. Against a Los Angeles Charger team who's just as horrible with terrible quarterback play. Are you kidding me? The way the Giants are playing.
Absolute disrespect on Odell's name. You know some of the best wide receivers are Eagles, right?
Hold on, let me ask
it
you a
question. It doesn't matter. It doesn't
I gotta
matter.
Ask, Rudy,
this is a team effort.
Let me ask you a question, Rudy. Name some other chick dudes because I want to know this.
No. He's the one and only chick dude. He really is. His wife
right,
is the same all the time.
The disrespect.
Look, my pick is Chargers. Chargers take care of a nowhere to be seen, nowhere to be found, sitting somewhere at a Starbucks in New York. Los Angeles take care of business at the Meadowlands. 21-17 Chargers.
Okay,
I'm
now, let me ask
some
question.
West
Hold
Coast
on,
bias
let me ask you a question.
Going on.
Let me ask both of you guys a question. You know what the question is? Okay, the Giants are 0-4 right now. If they're 0-5, Rory, do you think they still make the playoffs?
They are going to make the playoffs. It's the NFC East. It's the
weakest
division.
Enough of you.
That division is so weak.
You
got to give me some time here. You got to give me some time. Dallas,
all right, I'll give you 35 seconds.
Washington, Dallas. Philadelphia,
Washington, all those teams are better than the Giants.
Oh, my God. On paper.
They're all better
Rudy,
than the Giants.
Rudy.
No,
Rudy,
they are.
You gotta...
Are you serious? Give me offensive production that has put the Giants in position to win one game. Please.
See, I think you need a Java because I know you're over on the West Coast. It's early in the morning right now. I think you need to hit that coffee real quick because I'm telling you, when I look at that NFC East, my friend, I'm telling you, it's suspect. You know what I mean? Kirk Cousins can't even really throw the ball past, 40, 50 yards. That's already yet to be seen. And I don't have no faith in the Eagles. I have no faith in their wide receiving core. I think they're subpar at best. And the only greatest hope is America's team with the Dallas Cowboys, if you really want to keep it 100%.
All right,
Dak is showing that he can't play the way he needs to play. And, you know, look at Ezekiel Elliott, you know? He hasn't really been hitting the training camp, you know? Scandals all galore.
Okay, I gave you enough 35 seconds. Let's get to the next game. Arizona, Philadelphia, Rudy.
You know, Arizona is one of those ghostly teams. You don't know if you're going to get a scare, a trick, or a treat. I think Arizona at 2-2 could be the wild card moving forward. They're at .500. They haven't been playing extremely well. Carson Palmer not looking well, very consistent. Then again, when has Carson Palmer been really consistent? You can go back to his days when he was with Cincinnati. But I look for this Eagles team to really make a statement. They're 3-1. They don't look fantastic, on either aspect in all three phases of a football team, but I look for the Philadelphia Eagles and Carson Wentz to really handle his checkdowns, understand coverage, break down defense, being able to throw the ball deep and often against a Cardinals team who has not done a great job in stopping the pass. But you really have to change that up if you're the Eagles. So I have to go Eagles here to go up relatively big, 27-14 Philadelphia.
Why?
Real simple. NFC East, suspect. Arizona Cardinals, better team. Carson Palmer, Larry Fitzgerald, and that crew will go into Philadelphia and come out with a win. Fly, Eagles, no more. They start getting a reality check.
Rory, you have a text from Mr. Eric there. All right, now the next game, the last 1 o'clock game, and it hits home with Rudy, one of his favorite teams, Jacksonville Jaguars, who are playing not bad, but losing a game in overtime to the New York Jets last week, taking on the Pittsburgh Steelers. Since it's your team, I'm going to ask you first, Rudy, your pick.
You know, Jacksonville has got they have a lot of injuries right now. They have a lot of players with ankle sprains. Imagine that, a bunch of ankles. So they have ankle biters nipping at their toes when the Jets made them feel the burn. It was so close, that game. It was a true nail biter. It really was. You leave it to a rookie kicker to seal the deal when he had missed one in the earlier part of that game. I think Jacksonville, very scrappy. I think that the Steelers defense, with Cam Hayward named AFC Defensive Player of the Week, along with Ryan Shazier, Stephon Tuitt, they're going to have a field day up front against Blake Bortles and the Jacksonville Jaguars, and at home. So the crowd will definitely be into this, bringing the mystique back to Pittsburgh. I think the Steelers win this, but not without some injuries in association with that win. But I think the Steelers end up rising with Le'Veon Bell going for at least 2 touchdowns, and Antonio Brown not using water coolers to take out his frustration of not receiving passes. Antonio Brown gets a touchdown in the end zone. Steelers win 21-17.
All right. Rory?
So we talk about divas at the wide receiver helm and Antonio Brown flipping water coolers because he doesn't, you know, he runs a perfect route last week and then he gets all into his feelings, I like to call it. Going up against arguably one of the best shutdown corners of Jalen Ramsey. This game's going to be interesting because I know Rudy likes the Steelers and whatnot and his hoopla. You know, I read his tweets and stuff like that, and I hear his voice time and time again. He likes to gaslight the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'll say this right now. Steelers should win this game, but I smell upset special on this one. It sounds crazy, but I'm going to go against the grain. I got Jacksonville Jaguars squeaking out a nail biter just because I think there's something going on in Steelers land right there. You want to talk about diva wide receivers like I just mentioned, Antonio Brown against Jalen Ramsey. That's the matchup to watch this weekend, guys.
And you said you smell upset special. What does that smell like?
It's okay.
Never mind. All right, 4 o'clock game.
I don't know what it smells like.
Seattle, LA Rams. LA Rams going into Dallas last week and defeating the Cowboys. Seattle looking good in the second half, let's say, of the Sunday nighter. But first, we're going to go with Rory Mitchell. Rory, your pick.
Well, Jared Goff. Let's just start here. 7 TDs, right? 1 interception. Over 1,000 yards throwing. Let's be honest here. This is now the Rams' time to showcase. Ever since getting rid of Jeff Fisher, you know, this team is starting to produce. Their wide receiving core, Sammy Watkins and company, they're doing what they need to do. The resurgence of Todd Gurley. The thing is about this game, it's a trap game for them because, yes, they're 3-1, and yes, they look like a formidable team in the NFC West, but my biggest thing is that this is Seattle. And Seattle's a team now where they start slow, and they're going to start turning around the cornerstone here. I expect this game's funny. It's tough for me to call this one, but I'm gonna lean with Seattle here on the road. I just think they're a more complete team. I think the defense can actually be able to slow Jared Goff down. They'll be able to throw certain things at him. coming with the front four and the linebackers and the secondary. So, you know, you've got to be careful, you know, when you're standing back in that pocket, because Sherman and them boys, Legion of Boom, you know, they should come out with a win, statement game.
All right, Rudy.
You know, Los Angeles Rams, I'll be honest with you, has made a believer in me in this NFC West. There isn't a whole lot of great competition in the NFC West, probably one of the weakest divisions in the NFL. Rams finding a way with Todd Gurley, not only getting involved in the running game, but getting involved in the passing game. How much more dynamic do you want from a running back? Now, on the other side of the ball, I look for Seattle to really try to stop that run. A lot of pressure up front. You're going to have a lot of pressure early and often. I see blitz packages coming Jared Goff's way, but I like the flow of the Los Angeles Rams looking like the team that they should have had Jeff Fisher actually done his job to start Jared Goff. Last year, he didn't. He choked, and now he's gone. So what does that tell you? Now, when we look at the Seattle Seahawks, even though Russell Wilson has to run for his life, I foresee him mixing things up, or at least offensively on the rollouts, making things look really good, understanding where your checkdowns are, and be able to make those throws downfield against a relatively young secondary in Los Angeles. This game's in L.A., so I look for this to be a close one, and I think Seattle walks out with a win by at least three.
Next game, Baltimore. Have to bounce back from getting dumped by Rudy's Pittsburgh Steelers up against Oakland. Now there's a question mark. Quarterback play in Oakland. Of course, I know E.J. Manuel very well. Let's go first with Rudy. Baltimore, Oakland, your pick.
You know, tough. Joe Flacco he said it himself post-game conference against the Steelers last Sunday, I just sucked. Well, you're not the only one who sucked on that line. You have the running game, which was hit and miss. You have wide receivers just dropping balls like it's nobody's business. But without David Carr, right? Derek on the other side of the ball. You really have to ask yourself, is E.J. Manuel the guy in Oakland? The answer to that is no. Their best bet is to go fish out and grab Colin Kaepernick. And I know he's somewhere in there waiting to rock and roll, waiting for an NFL team to call him.
Just a side note here.
Takes a chance.
I just want to say a side note. Tennessee went out and signed the weed man as back. Yes, because the question mark about Marcus Mariota. Why didn't Tennessee, if there's anybody who is sort of like, Marcus Mariota, Colin Kaepernick should have been called right there, but they signed the weed man there. Your thoughts, Rudy and Rory?
I'll let Rudy take this one first here.
Well, and again, it goes back to Mariota having some technical issues. He's got some stress on that leg. It's not something that he can plan on firmly, try to get out of the pocket. He's not mobile anymore. I mean, if you stick it back there, you have to expect your guys to protect him. He's not mobile. That's one of the reasons why Mariota is not going to even take a chance to remotely start this coming Sunday. And to be honest with you, when it comes to Brandon Whedon, he's a backup quarterback. I mean, that's what he's historically been, is a backup quarterback. Look, translation from the NCAA and your yards and touchdowns and your escapability, all that stuff comes to a screeching halt when you enter the next level. Brandon Whedon, backup quarterback, I don't think it's going to go very well in Tennessee, but Kaepernick should have been the one on their lips to get somebody who's mobile with Colin Kaepernick.
Like you just said, mobility is a big key. We already know why Colin's not in the league. You know, we don't really need to go into the whole protest. We see this guy in shape, ready, right? No team's looking at him. He's being blackballed. And, you know, let's go to Oakland. Oakland has now lost Carr, right? 2-4 weeks, however long. You're back. It's fractured. You can't rush that back, right? And I just really feel that a lot of these owners, and I'm going to say something, I think if Al Davis was alive, you know what I mean, he would have pulled the trigger on picking up Colin Kaepernick in Oakland. I'm kind of skeptical now. You know, I think for Kaepernick getting on a team in the NFL right now, it's got to be something big that has to happen. It's got to be even a bigger time quarterback that goes down, like around week maybe 7 to 12, and a team that's vying for a playoff spot. And maybe when we will hear his name be called on an NFL roster. You know, we already know what it is, you know, and, you know, we had a podcast where, you know, me, Rudy, and two other ladies were discussing about a lot of good things.
And I wasn't there. What's
politics
wrong with you?
And stuff like that. Sorry, Joe, you know what I mean. and, you know, at the end of the day, we all made valid points. So we get it, you know what I mean? It's just the NFL, the owners, you know, nobody wants to take a chance because everybody's still calling Colin Kaepernick a distraction. But I think it's time now, and I'll be the first person to say this. I think Colin has to raise the awareness now, and he needs to come out on one of these platforms. If it's Fox, if it's ESPN.
No. Wait, hold on. I'm going to call him out. Join Barn Burner, where we do fired up our daily the one and only who does a daily podcast, myself. Join us. Give us your take. Everybody listens to us. Everybody listens to us. Even Donald Trump is listening to us in the washroom. Trust me. All right? Trust me.
But like I was saying, you know, he needs to come out and say something, but I get why he doesn't want to, because his silence is even – it's speaking even more volumes, because it's basically like, look at what I've done. You know, I spread awareness on this thing. The whole entire NFL is taking action. Everybody's locking arms. Everybody's taking a knee. And he seems to still – become the gentleman that, you know, took this courageous stand and still not getting the respect that he deserves, you know? So we'll
right,
see what happens.
All right. The last two games of the week are really, no pun intended, bar burners. You're listening to an NFL Week 5 previews and picks with Rory Mitchell, The Mitchell Report Unleashed. Check out episode 53 with yours truly, like you never heard me before, and Rudy Reyes of SB Nation. Now, this should be a very, very good game. Green Bay to Dallas. I'm going to start off with Rory here. What do you think? Green Bay and Dallas, this is a critical matchup for both teams.
It is. It is. And this is going to be the same result that happened last year in the playoffs. Green Bay, I expect to go to Jerry's World and do what they did best. This time, I think the result's going to be a little different. They're going to win it outright. I don't think it's going to be a close game as everybody's expecting to be. Aaron Rodgers is the baddest man that we've ever seen play at the quarterback position. And I'll just keep it real short here. You know, I have the Packers winning this game by at least a touchdown. And I don't feel with the Dallas Cowboys and Dak, like it seems like Dak's, and maybe you guys can all agree to this, is Dak doesn't seem to be familiarized with Dez Bryant. They look like they've never thrown a ball to each other, or Dak has never thrown a ball to Dez Bryant. But like I said, Green Bay wins this game outright, at least by 7.
Rudy?
Well, I can see where your favoritism lies in the NFC East and the 0-4 New York football Giants. They used to know about football. They used to know about football, but right now they're more worried about who's going to get picked up and scraped up from under the bus and keep getting run over. But, you know, I'll agree with you here, Dallas Cowboys, not having the type of chemistry you would expect from Dak Prescott, who led this team to a record win, record amount of wins last year. Green Bay Packers at Lambeau were absolutely outstanding. They really made it count. Aaron Rodgers, really. I call him Duck Dodgers, you know, the whole Daffy Duck thing, but he's not Duck Dodgers anymore. He's out of Duck Dodgers' closet now. Aaron Rodgers looking fantastic, getting the ball to people he needs to, including Jordy Nelson, Wood Needed, Randall Cobb. You're going to get it to possibly Jeff Janis if you see somebody stumble or bubble along the way. Of course, Ty Montgomery, questionable to start this game. I guess it's his decision at this point, but I think Green Bay will walk into as you stated, Jerry's World very, very eloquently and really take care of business against the Cowboys. It could be a repeat performance, but I don't think it'll end that way. But I still believe the Green Bay Packers will end up winning the 21-17 in in Jerry's World at AT&T Stadium.
Both of you guys are going to be wrong. Anyways, now this is arguably the matchup of the week. Kansas City, the only undefeated team in the National Football League in Houston, to take on Deshaun Watson and the Houston Texans. I'm going to go first to Rudy. Give me your thoughts.
Man, Kansas City, are you serious? Look, 4-0 for a reason. It has to do with quarterback play, getting that ball out to wherever it needs to go to. Kareem Hunt just making it look too easy on that line with his rookie record. Speaking of Frank Gore, he's about 20 yards shy or somewhere in that genre of passing Eric Dickerson on the all-time yards list. But I look at Kareem Hunt to continue his explosion. But you have to look at the other side of the ball, right? You have Deshaun Watson making it look easy with four touchdowns, running one in himself to get Houston to 500 at Energy Stadium. I look for Kansas City to put a wallop all over Houston, but I think it'll be a lot closer than most people expect. Texas walk out with a win.
Interesting. This game here is going to be a telltale. A telltale is Kansas City the team to beat in the AFC, even though they stand at 4-0, and what Houston Texas team is going to show up. I know Houston's at home. We know the unfortunate circumstance of the flood in Houston that ended up happening. I flip-flopped on this one. When I looked at this, I flip-flopped on it, and I flip-flopped in a way because Kansas City, their running back, Kareem Hunt, is, you know, early candidate of an MVP caliber season if he keeps on the pace that he's doing, the highlight plays and stuff like that. Alex Smith being the game manager that he is. The thing is, it comes down to the trenches. It comes down to the front fourth on both teams. It's going to come down to the defenses. Both defenses are terrific, right? I think Kansas City gets a little bit more of a side nod. I don't think Houston gets as far as right credit that they need to. But this game is going to be the telltale of the quarterbacks. And I'm going to say this. I think Kansas City can do some things to Deshaun Watson that he may not be able to see as a rookie. The thing is, though, is if Deshaun Watson can use his plays on his feet, make the right reads, throw the ball to Hopkins, throw the balls to Fuller and whatnot. I want to say Houston, but I'm going to be honest here. I think Kansas City gets a win here, at least by 4 points. I'll say final score 28-24.
All right, the Monday Nighter. By the way, Rudy, it's Thanksgiving in Canada on Monday. And what do we have here? The Monday Nighter, Vikings and Bears for a Canadian Thanksgiving. Minnesota, Chicago, but the big story is the quarterback of the Chicago Bears finally, you know, they got like $50 million in money in two quarterbacks there. Mitchell Trubisky will start. What will he do? Let's go first with Rory. Do you think he'll have a successful debut?
He's going to have a successful debut because here's the thing. I don't think the Vikings can prepare for a guy they've never really seen. The only tape you have on him is from preseason and his college days. Where this game is going to be interesting here is Minnesota doesn't really have a running game, right? Their stud running back goes down with an ACL injury last week. Minnesota's favored by 3.5, and I expect the Bears to cover the spread. Mitch to put up a pretty good debut, two TDs at least. You know, he may get flustered at times. Minnesota's defense is legit to some people's eyes. But, Soldiers Field, Chicago wins Monday Nighter, Canadians Thanksgiving. I should be back by then from Detroit myself. So hopefully I'll be able to see a bit of this game. But Chicago wins this game by 3.
Rudy?
Yeah, Minnesota, it's kind of an interesting situation there in Minnesota. Dalvin Cook, one of the most explosive, at least prior to his injury, running back / I would say a tight end-esque kind of guy on the outside. He's done for the season. And then you don't have a lot of other splash players around him to make the impact plays. Quarterback play, Case Keenum, he looks okay. They're playing 500 ball right now, and now you don't have that dynamic guy in Dalvin Cook. He'll have to wait till next year to have a reprieve. But look at Chicago, and I've said this from the onset before they went down in flames at 1-3. Of course, their big win against my Steelers. But they played and executed good ball against the Steelers. They were able to stop the run. Le'Veon Bell didn't have hardly anything at all in that game. Total yards, I think, were 65 on the ground. No touchdowns. So it just makes you wonder what's really going on there in Pittsburgh. But Chicago able to stop the run up front defensively. And Trubisky, they reached up to grab this guy. Then you acquire Mike Glennon, who I've never been a fan of, even when he was with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I like Trubisky. I just do. Something about his pocket awareness, something about his checkdown, his progression, his ability to read defensive lines. Okay, fine. So he played great in preseason where everything was vanilla. I don't think a whole lot's going to change. I think Trubisky will put on a display and a barrage of touchdowns. Chicago wins against Minnesota.
All right, great news for the following teams. Atlanta, Buffalo, Washington. You know why? They don't lose, but they don't win either. They're on the rise. Now, this has been Week 5 NFL Preview and Picks with Rory Mitchell of the Mitchell Report Unleashed, Episode 53, featuring yours truly. Rory, tell everybody how they could get a hold of you.
Real simple. I expect my Twitter to probably blow up after this broadcast. Rory EGN is where you guys can find me on Twitter. I probably won't be tweeting as crazy on Sundays because I am fully loaded and booked in Detroit football game and WWE Hell in the Cell. So I'll try to get to you guys as quick as I can, but, you know, bear with me.
All right. Rudy Reyes of SB Nation, tell everybody how they can get a hold of
Doug
you.
Reyes. Everybody can go to at Rudog Reyes on Twitter. You can also go to the RudeDogShow.com. I'm switching gears. I'm going over to SB Nation Radio, so you'll be able to find me there. I'll have a lot more guests on. You'll hear about me a lot more, and, of course, your Twitter feed will be filled up with goodness. So make sure you have your cookies and milk in hand for that one. So stay tuned for that.
Side note, real quick. You talked about cookies and milk, and you're talking about the NFC East real quick. I want to put a side bet here on the show. You need to when the Giants start turning the merry-go-round and start producing more wins and win that division, I'd like to have a nice Starbucks card in my mail for some Java, and I'll make sure I can share some of that with you too.
I'll go on online, Rudy. I'll go on online here. If the Giants make the playoff, have them on your show on SB Nation. How about that?
Hey, that works. That works for me. But I can tell you right now, you better make sure you bring your own creamer because I ran out.
All right. And one final thought. I'm gonna, Rudy. You want to ask Rory this question? Anything because you want to be the wrestling insider. You want to ask him anything about Hell in a Cell or anything wrestling MMA?
There's been a rumor about Ronda Rousey. And I know she's pregnant, and I know she's going to have a baby real soon. But there's been talk about her coming back to the Octagon to really get it done. Does Ronda Rousey make a re-entry into the UFC? And if so, what is the timetable on it?
Rory, do you want me to take it, or do you want to take
it? No,
this?
I'm going to take this. The pregnancy thing I'd never heard about. That's news to me, I'll be honest. I'll say this right now. Did you watch her last two fights? Did you watch what happened when she fought Amanda Nunes?
Yeah.
Did you watch when she fought Holly Holm?
Yeah.
It wasn't good for her. It wasn't good for her. And I think she needs to stay away from the UFC. I think where her meal ticket's going to be right now, where she takes less bumps, less damage, can kind of somewhat do that arm bar, you know, could be your finishing move is going to be in the WWE, you know, and actually the rumor is that she's supposed to be fighting, hopefully Charlotte, after they do their little four horse women thing, around Survivor Series and stuff like that. But hopefully she tussles with Charlotte at next year's WrestleMania.
All right. To close this rumor out, okay? To close this rumor out, Rory is not the father. All right? For that matter, Rudy is not the father. All right? What did you call Odell Beckham? A chick what?
A chick dude.
Some chick dude is the father, all right?
The disrespect on Odell's name.
It is the father. Not Odell Beckham. I didn't say Odell Beckham. I said a chick dude.
Rudy, real quick. Do you play fantasy football? Do you play fantasy football, Rudy?
You know, I'll be honest with you. I'm too busy with reality to play fantasy, man. I live in the here and now.
Oh, my Lord.
I live in the here and now, but I will say this. If I was to play my first inaugural season, it'll be with callers calling in giving me their picks to put on my roster. So maybe I'll start doing that because I won't play.
All right. I want to close this out with saying best of luck to Rudy Reyes and SB Nation. And you know, if you want to have high ratings, I'm just a phone call away. Reach out and touch me. Don't touch Rory. Reach out and touch me. All right.
I'll make sure I touch Rory with a back scratcher, but I'll call you, Joe.
All right. No problem.
I want my Starbucks card in the mail. I told you, like, right around week 15, I want that Starbucks card in the mail.
Well, you better make sure you have your creamer ready.
And
make sure it's titled Beckham Special right on the front.
All right, hold on. Let's make a nice bet here, okay? Let's make a nice bet. Okay, if the Giants actually make the playoffs, Rudy will have you on his SB Nation show, plus give you a Starbucks card. If the Giants miss out the playoffs, Rudy, what do you want from Rory?
I want to know who Ronda Rousey's baby's daddy is.
It's a chick, too. All right. On that note, that has been fired up here on barnburner.ca, week 5 NFL preview. Also, some chick dude with the ultimate chick dude, Rory Mitchell, the Mitchell Report Unleashed, episode 53. Check it out with myself and Rudy Reyes of SB Nation. Best of luck on the SB Nation show, Rudy. Thanks a lot, you guys, and hopefully all the games are winners for all the fans out there. Thanks a lot, you guys.
Thank you.
No problem. Thank you. Appreciate it.